Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we're going to exercise our rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game and the way the world is now, we can't afford to fall for nothing. So let's stand in solidarity. Let's stand in truth. Let's stand in the name of God and galvanize as a whole so that we can have what we need, and that's strength, because strength runs in numbers. Yes, strength runs in numbers. Welcome to everybody out there. You're on Eddie. Hey, good morning, Felia Wilts out there on Facebook Live. How are you this morning? God bless you and Pastor Charles. Tell him I said hello. First Lady Wilts on the line. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have a very powerful, interesting show for you today, as we do every single Monday. First of all, I cannot go any further into the show without saying I'm sending special prayers to South Carolina and all over Florida and anywhere where that tornado Ian hit, because it was devastating. I do mean devastating. Good morning, Pamela Caven on Facebook Live. You are our special guest today. I'm so glad that you were able to join us on Facebook Live and join us on the show at the same time. If you want to listen to our show, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064 and press 1. It'll put you in the queue. If you just want to listen, just dial the number and it'll put you into the show. But if you want to talk, you want to make a statement, or you want to chime in on one of our subject matters or topics, press 1. And now listen, everybody on Facebook Live, send it to 10 people right now. 10 people, just send the show to 10 people right now on Facebook Live so that they can join a real live civil rights talk show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Now, Hurricane Ian, it's a disaster in Florida. It's a disaster. Now, I heard that they're paying people $3,000 a week to come down to Florida and work, $3,000 a week to work in Florida to help them clean up that terrible mess. I'm sure FEMA's there. People are destitute, without homes. They don't have a place to live right now. The electricity has been out for days at a time. And now that same storm hit South Carolina. And I don't know if you noticed, but I'm going to tell you, God is working. All the water that was in the ocean in Florida at the beach was evaporated. It was no longer there. All you could see was, you could walk. It was like parting the Red Sea. You could just walk on the beach and there was no water. No water. No fish, no crabs, no octopus. Everything went, I guess, up in the tornado or it evaporated into the sky, but there was no water in the ocean, okay? The ocean, the beach was dry. I couldn't believe what I saw with my own eyes. And South Carolina was up underwater. They showed people who were on their second story up on the roof waiting for people to pick them up in helicopters and boats and any way that they could get out of there. And, of course, there was a enormous, unfortunate loss of places to live, of food to eat, and fresh water to drink. Thank you to President Biden for getting all kinds of FEMA help out there and government help out there. And like I said a while ago, I don't know how to – I guess you can go to the government, you know, to their city council and find out if you want to go work and make you some quick money. They're paying people $3,000 a week to come out there and help clean up Florida. And I'm sure they'll be doing the same thing in South Carolina. South Carolina is up underwater, up under the water. Florida, up under the water. It's going to be a while. But let's keep them in prayer. And I want to shout out my buddy, John Apollo Payne. What's up, John Apollo Payne? Reach out to me. You can call into the show, John, because I know if you want to call in, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Also, I want to shout out a wonderful, hardworking woman that has contributed so much to Los Angeles, California. What's up, Brother Glenn? Yos, what's up, my brother? How are you? I'm sending a shout out to all my garden knights and everybody in the gardens. And then, what's up? Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, Apollo, call in. I want to shout out Congresswoman Diane Watson, Ambassador Congresswoman Diane Watson, a very good friend of mine who... I want to shout out who has done so much work in Congress and in the city of Los Angeles and in the state of California and all around. She's an ambassador of a country, and she is still doing great things. We have a lot of special guests, but we have our co-hosts in. But before, yes, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We have a show for you today as we do. Now, one of our topics is, what happened at Popeye's Fried Chicken? That's one of our topics. What happened at Popeye's Fried Chicken? Another one of our topics is, our second topic is, young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge, and who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? We're going to talk about this. This is very, very important. Again, our second topic is young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge, and who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? Now, the reason why I brought this subject matter up is because last week I was watching a special on television, and it was 20 kids, 20 youngsters, all under the age of 17, all under the age of 18. All of them were 17 years old, and they all received life without the possibility of parole in prison. They were tough when they were doing their murder or shooting or raping or maiming or whatever they did. They were tough. But when that judge read them the sentence that they were getting life without the possibility of parole, they broke down and cried like little babies, because that's what they were. That's what they are, babies. But see, the baby part didn't jump back in until the judge said life in prison without the possibility of parole. And one kid just kept pleading, please, judge, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. One kid, 17 years old, was babysitting the baby, and he beat the baby and killed the baby. So the judge said, well, you killed the baby, so now, you know, we're giving you life. And 17-year-old got life. 17-year-old girl got life. 20 young people got life without the possibility of parole. Every one of them cried like a baby. They didn't have an attitude. They were crying like a baby because our youth are being misled and misdirected by the streets. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. But first, we're going to get in some of our and I want to tell you how me and my wife's weekend went. It was amazing. So I want to tell you about that. Where did we go and what did we do? Special shout out to my alma mater, Susan Miller Dorsey High School. And we had, this is what we did over the weekend. We had a Dorsey High School reunion all class dance. And then the next day we had the 85-year reunion that Susan Miller Dorsey High School has been in existence for. What's up, Andrew? How are you, brother? Welcome to our show. Thank you for joining us. I ask everybody to come into Facebook Live to send it to 10 people and have 10 more people join in on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, which talks about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing, okay? And strength runs in numbers. So my people, let's continue to galvanize and work together, because when it all comes down, all we have is one another and each other to help make change in this society on this planet called Earth. We can't wait on the government to do what we need to know how to do already. We got to get ready and stay ready. Okay. All right. So without further ado, let's bring in our first co-producer, Clarence Mallon. Good morning, Brother Clarence Mallon. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, especially to all our wonderful listeners throughout this nation and around the world. Good morning to the panelists, our co-panelists. Pastor Eddie, it's just another blessed Monday, man, you know. God has sprinkled his light upon this nation, upon this world today. So let your light shine throughout this day, Pastor Eddie. Once again, man, you allowed me to be a co-host, co-producer on the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk radio show. To all our listeners, share this show. He has some hot button topics this morning. Pastor Eddie, I'm buckled in the limo. Let's roll.
Oh, man, let's roll. Now, when I jumped out the limo this morning, we all jumped out at the same time, myself and Clarence. And without further ado, let's bring in another person who jumped out the limo, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Professor Reams. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. Good morning to the other co-producers and co-hosts, and also to the listeners. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As I second with the regulator, this is the best Block Talk Radio show for Monday. Get ready, get set, because we're going to be diving into another topic, which shows our convictions are her passion, but also our opinions about the issue that we're going to talk about, but also show how it connects with God's love, grace, and mercy. So good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to the show. Now, without further ado, it wouldn't be a show without health and wellness. So let's bring my sister Vera Jones, a.k.a. Granny V, on. Good morning, Vera. How are you? Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Clarence, Professor Rames, co-host, and all the listeners. Happy Monday.
Happy
good
Monday.
Morning,
good morning, Dr. Granny V. You're in the house.
Now, we have a special guest all the way from Texas that's going to be one of our guests on the show this morning, and her name is Pamela Caver, and I want to make sure I'm saying it right. So without further ado, let's see if we can get her in the studio this morning. Good morning, Sister Pamela. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Everybody say good morning to Sister Pamela. Is it Caver, right?
Caven.
Yes, Caven.
Good morning, Pamela.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you.
All right, so Pamela, we just want you to speak just a little bit louder. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear y'all fine.
Okay. Do you have your phone on speaker or?
No, I had some earplugs in my ears.
So we can hear you nice and loud and clear.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Much, much better. Can everybody hear better? If so, everybody just say yay or nay or, you know, can you hear better?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, so Pamela, you live in what part of Texas?
A Dallas area, Texas.
Amen. Okay, so tell us, okay, now down in Texas, I mean, because there is a Popeye's fried chicken in every state. There's a little slogan on the commercial that says, love that chicken at Popeye's, and I don't have any rights to Popeye's, but everybody knows that little jingle that they say at Popeye's fried chicken. And I don't know why, but that's the jingle for Popeye's fried chicken. And I go by Popeye's, and when they made that fried chicken sandwich, it was a big, giant piece of chicken on a piece of bread, and people were killing each other over that chicken. They were fighting over the chicken. It was lines around the block for those chicken sandwiches. I don't know if you guys remember that. Does anybody remember those chicken sandwiches at Popeye's Fried Chicken?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I remember the incidents of the fights.
Yes, people were fighting. I called it, now forgive me, but I said it was something in that chicken. I don't know what was in that chicken, but it was addicting, and people stood in line for hours and hours to get one of those Popeye's chicken breast sandwiches. They were $5 a piece, and I know some people ordered as many as they could. I think it was a limited. You couldn't probably order over five or six, but once they got there, they ordered a lot of them, and you know, people are living off that those sandwiches for a while. Anyway, we're not here about the sandwiches today. We're here about customer service. Customer service is, you have a right, you have a human right, you even have a constitutional right to be treated right when you go to a place of business. They have certain criteria that they need to meet when it comes to customer service. And every business or restaurant or fast food restaurant should have impeccable, and I do mean impeccable, customer service. Now, I'm sure that each and every one of us has went to some restaurant and not had the best service and probably had to file a complaint or do something to make a change to make sure that the next time that you came or somebody else came that they wouldn't have those same issues and or problems. Let's find out what happened to Pamela. But before we start with Pamela, just want to send a special shout out to everybody on Facebook Live. I want to send a special shout out to Wanda. Good morning, Wanda. God bless you. Want to send a special shout-out to Brother Andrew. Thank you for joining us. Brother Clarence, thank you for joining us. Brother Glenn, thank you for joining us. Brother John Apollo, thank you for joining us. Sister Pamela, you're joining us. And Sister Felita Wilkes, thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live. And keep on coming in the room and tell 10 people. Pamela, please take the floor. Give us the incident that happened. Give us the date, the time. Where were we? What happened?
Oh, okay. Well, September the 2nd, a friend of mine, we both went through the drive-thru at Popeyes in Greenville, Texas. And we had a little coupon, a Tuca Dine, you know, Tuca Dine coupon. So we drove through, and they told us it would be an eight-minute wait. So, like, pull over, like, up and over to the side. So we sat, mm-hmm. we pulled over and, you know, sat there, and we noticed the drive-thru was getting, like, really, really full. It was, like, more and more vehicles coming for, you know, chicken food and everything. So, you know, we sat there and we were just talking and laughing, you know, just about normal stuff or whatever, you know, until the time, you know, that they would bring the food out to us. After a while of just talking and laughing, we noticed that, you know, one of the little cashier girls, she was coming out with orders, and she was walking up to different cars, you know, asking, who, what did you order, you know, is, you know, what was your meal? And so she came up to my vehicle, too, and she said, you know, what did you order? And I told her we had the Tuca Dine meal, and that we had been sitting there longer than, like, 15 minutes by now. And she said, oh, okay. She said, I'm sorry. So she went up to some more cars to find out, you know, because she had some orders in, a couple of orders in her hand. She was trying to find whose meal it was that she had brought out. So, you know, we talked, me and my friend and I, we talked and laughed some more, you know. And then when we really looked up and noticed, because we got so caught up into talking and laughing about stuff, that when we noticed all the vehicles that came through the drive-thru was gone. And we were still sitting there. And so I'm like, wow, we've been sitting here like more than half an hour. And she said, yes, we have. So she said, well, I'll go in and, you know, see, you know, what, you know, the hold up is with our meal. So she went in and she, you know, asked about, you know, our Tuca Dine meal, you know, and it was a young lady at the cash register. Actually, it was two young ladies there. And one of them said, oh, that's sitting right here. And so she reached over and she got it and she handed it to my friend. And so on the receipt, so it was a receipt on top of the bag. So my friend took the receipt, looked at the receipt and, you know, pulled the food out. And she said, you know, we don't have our, you know, how we order jalapeno hot peppers. We or, you know, and can we have some, you know, condiments? So, you know, the girl, she went and got it. She had a little attitude or whatever. But on the receipt, my friend noticed that it had the word black. B-L-A-C-K written on it. And so she brought the receipt and the bag out to me. But before she could leave out the bag and the food and receipt, one of the cashier girls said, hey, you know, she told the other cashier, you know, we need that receipt back. And so the one who, you know, gave my friend the food, she said, Miss, we don't need you to get that receipt back. We need the receipt back. And so my friend said, No, I'm not going to, we're going to need this receipt, you know. And so they, you know, they kind of got a little upset, you know, you could see the little madness in their faces. And so, however, my friend came out with the food. She said, Pam, you're not going to believe what this receipt has on it. And I said, what does it have on it? And she said, black, you know. And I said, wow, let me see. So she handed it to me, and I said, this is deep. I said, well, maybe this is why, you know, they didn't bring our food out to us and everybody else, because, you know, we're black. You know, it's nobody else. You know, because that Popeyes right there, I've been living in that area for 4 years, and that's my favorite Popeyes. I go there like four times in a month because, you know, Popeyes chicken, like, you know, Pastor Eddie was saying, love that chicken from Popeyes. So, you know, they never wrote, you know, a black or nothing on any of my receipts when they tell me to pull over, you know, and wait through the drive-thru. And they always brought my food out, but this day I don't know what the difference was, but I noticed everybody that had came behind us, and it was a long line of cars behind us, they were all gone. And we was just sitting there talking and lagging, you know, just laughing and everything and not noticing that nobody brought our food out. But, you know, I said, you know what, take my phone and record this because this is bad. This shouldn't be. So I go, we goes back in, she turns my phone on the recorder, and I go in and I say, hi, I said, I have a question. I said, why do y'all write black on, you know, our receipt? And the young lady goes, well, you are in a black car, aren't you? Aren't you not? And so, you know, aren't you in a black car? And I said, yes, I am. I said, well, this is something y'all do. She said, yes, we write colors on the receipts and this and that. And I said to myself, no, you all don't. No, you don't. But I wasn't finna, you know, argue with her. I wasn't finna say anything. So, you know, I never experienced somebody writing, you know, black on a receipt. I'm black, okay? Is this why y'all didn't bring our food out to us? Because this is what's going through my mind, you know. You know, everybody else got their food gone. You promised curbside service. You know, but instead we're receiving inferior service because our food is cold. We waited 8 minutes three times. So, you know, three times over. And our food was cold. The young lady, she took the bag, and I said, ma'am, could we have a bigger bag? So she takes the bag, and she, you know, she take everything, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, y'all doesn't have y'all biscuits. So, you know, we didn't even have all our food. They didn't even put everything in the bag. And our bag was just sitting over to the side. You know, we had to come in and get our own food, you know. And that really bothered me. And, you know, I talked to one of the general managers about it, and he said, no, that's not our policy. We don't write color cards, color codes, or anything on receipts. And he said, and actually, they should have been more detailed. He said, we don't write vehicle colors so on receipts. So I said, okay, well, thank you, because that right there let me know something, you know. And, you know, it was bad, you know. And I haven't been to Popeye since. My chicken tastes good Friday home, but it don't taste nothing like Popeye. But I,
my,
you know,
gosh,
heart,
my gosh,
you know. That depressed me.
Yeah, well, Pamela, what a horrific situation to happen to you and your friend Darlene. First of all, that should never happen. Out of all my years of going to any restaurant, I've never seen anybody write a color on the receipt, ever in the history of living, and I've been in the world quite a while. I've never seen anyone write a color on a receipt. And now you're talking about fried chicken, which people always put fried chicken with African Americans. I don't know why, but everybody likes fried chicken. But that is such an unfortunate situation. Hold on, I want to make a quick phone call, but hold that thought. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We're talking to our special guest, Pamela Caven, and we're talking about what happened at Popeye's Fried Chicken in Texas, okay? So we're going to get right back to it. Let's just make a phone call, get someone in the studio with us right now. Let's see if we... Okay. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Eddie Justice... Maurice Valentine, what's up, brother? How are you? My brother, what's happening? Danielle, are you there?
Hello, good morning. Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, Tina Jackson. Welcome to the show. Your phone is echoing, so you got to turn the Facebook down.
Okay.
Turn the Facebook all the way down and just have your phone on. Can you hear us okay, Danielle?
Yes.
Okay, everybody say good morning to Danielle. She's calling from the Valley of Los Angeles, California.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay,
good morning.
So Danielle, don't go anywhere. You're going to be our very one of our special young people. You're going to be talking today about young people, but right now we're talking about some fried chicken. We're going to get your opinion too. So without further ado, Pamela, Were you upset? Were you hurt? Did you feel like you were racially profiled by them writing black on your receipt and then giving it to you?
Oh,
did you feel racially profiled?
Yes, I did. I felt I felt like I was discriminated against.
Okay.
I felt like I was discriminated against. And, yes, I do feel like, you know, it was a prejudice thing because when I went back in the Popeyes, it's no one black work there. They never hire any, African American.
Sorry, Pamela. Pamela, we can't hardly hear you. It sounds like your phone went down low again. It's like we can't hardly hear your voice. Can you speak up a little louder or change your phones? Thank you, Tina Jackson, for joining us on Facebook Live. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Brother Maurice. Big Valentine, big ups to you, and Bully the Bull. So, Pamela, go right ahead. Speak a little louder, please. You said you felt discriminated against. You felt racially profiled. How often is it that you go in any food place and they write black on your receipt? Go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Yes, I mean, it scared me. It scared me really bad because, you know, with all that's going on in the world today, you know, it's just so much going on since George Floyd. And I just couldn't believe my eyes, you know. And, you know, what really made me feel like we were being racially profiled is that no one brought our food out to us. We had to go into the restaurant and get our own food, which was it wasn't hot because they said it'd be an 8-minute wait. We sat out there about 35 minutes just talking and letting time pass by, waiting on them to bring our food out as promised. And so here it is when we do go in there ourselves to get our own order. It's not hot anymore. Everything's not in the bag, you know. And then on top of that, our race is on a receipt. And, you know, and if it was about our car, if they did write black on our receipt because we were driving a black car, why didn't you bring our food out to the black car? We parked right in front of the door. So when you come out the door, you see none but my black car. So why were our food sitting over to the side, not longer hot anymore, if y'all writing, you know, color codes on receipts? And another thing, if you were writing color codes on, you know, writing colors of vehicles on the receipt, it's so many different vehicles. It's black. We drive. It didn't say black truck, SUV, black minivan, black car, black van, you know, anything. It's just black written on it. And at the same time, we receive inferior service. So, yes, I do feel like I was just discriminated against.
Okay, so hold that thought. We're going to go to our executive board panel. We're going to start off with Professor Reams. And Brother Clarence Mallon, if you could do me a favor, if you could give a shout-out to Talana, give her a call and get her to call into the show, and then hit me back and let me know how that's going. But first, we're going to start off with Professor Reams, our real professor on the show, Professor Reams, professor of social justice, of music, and he's just an all-around intellectual, intelligent, good brother with a lot of integrity and dignity, and he knows all about racism and racial biasness and injustice and social justice as well. So without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Sister Pamela?
Oh, I have both. But first of all, Sister Pamela, I am so sorry that you've gone through this because I understand you've been going to this restaurant for 4 years straight. Nothing has happened. You've been a good, loyal customer to them, making sure that you did whatever they had to do. And then for this to happen, it is devastating. I understand and get it. So bless you for coming on the show and showing how the subtleties of how we always have to be ready overall, especially when you least expect it, because it's racist instead of racism that comes into play. But my question to you is that you mentioned you spoke to the general manager, and obviously did you provide a formal complaint? The reason why, before you answer, because with the general managers and some of the folks, they might just blow you off, because many of the Popeyes, like McDonald's, have their own franchises overall, as you know. And in having a franchise, many times it's under they'll give them the name and give them all the things they need to do. the running of that particular franchise is always dependent on who owns that particular franchise overall. And if that person is biased or racist or whatever in general, then it's going to be reflective of that particular franchise. And so many times the general manager can say, well, yeah, that's not our policy. But then they should advocate trying to do something or reprimand that particular franchise because it is a separate franchise, because I teach business law and many of my students come to me about franchises and what they can and can't do. So what did you do, or did you file the formal complaint?
Yes, I went. Actually, they have a website where you go online and make a complaint. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then I was told, you know, by email that it would take 3 to 5 days because the investigators, Popeye's investigators, have to take a look over it, and if they think that it's anything that would be needing more attention, that it would be sent to a district manager or the corporate office. So after maybe a week and a half, close to 2 weeks, it was sent to the district area manager, who gave me a call and And he gave me a call, and he said, you know, I'm so very sorry, Ms. Pamela Cavan. He said, because this, he said, you know, actually I'm going to go over there and visit. I'm driving to this Popeye's, you know, to see what's going on. He said, because this is not in our policy to write. We don't write colors or any colors or anything on receipts. Other than, you know, probably if we have to subtract something off or something, he was saying like that. He said, but no, that's, he said, I seriously apologize. He said, if you haven't, you know, an attorney, they can reach our something adjustment team, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, thanks for apologizing. Yeah, he said, I'm sorry. He said, the young people today, he said, some of them haven't been trained well. He said, but that there shouldn't have happened. He said, and once again, I'm so very sorry. He said, it should have been more detailed, you know. And he said, and I'm sorry they didn't, you know, you didn't get curbside service like everyone else. He said, and I said, yeah, well, you know, they got cameras outside on the Popeyes. You can go take a look at it yourself, how we sat out there for more than half an hour. And he was like, yeah, I'm sorry. He said, he said, it should not have happened. He said, but what I would say to you is if you have an attorney, he said, they can, you know, reach out to our attorneys. He said, but I don't have no numbers because I asked you, do you have the number to the Popeye's attorney, y'all attorney? He said, I don't have the numbers, which I didn't believe. But anyhow, he said, but your attorney can reach out to our adjustment team, something like that. And I said, okay, well.
And do you plan on getting an attorney?
Yes, I sought out a few attorneys, and they were saying that, you know, no, I can't take this case. I can't take, you know, and it was just hard, you know, trying to find an attorney just at that moment. So I happened to see Pastor Eddie's, you know, radio show about civil rights and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to him, you know, for help.
Sure. All righty. Well, I'm glad they apologize. You're in the right spot. I yield back to you. Thank you so much. Bless you for sharing this. And Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. We are live. I want to send a shout out to Brother James Hudson. Thank you for joining us, Brother James Hudson, on Facebook Live. Thank you also, Tina Jackson. Thank everybody on Facebook Live. Let's get my daughter in the studio, Talana Jones. Good morning, Talana, all the way from Los Angeles. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Daddy. Good morning to all of the listeners, to Regulator Clarence. Good morning to my butterfly, Dr. Granny B. And shout out to Cousin B and to Professor Reams. Good morning to you, to everybody who was on the show this morning. Happy Monday, everyone. God bless you. Blessings and favor.
Good morning, Talana.
Good morning.
Good morning, Talana. Mm-hmm.
Now, Talana, say good morning to Pamela, and Pamela, say hello to Talana.
Hello, Solana.
Good morning, Pamela. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. How are you?
Likewise. So, I'm blessed as well. Happy to wake up this morning.
So with that being said, we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, do you have a question or a statement for Sister Pamela? And good morning, Gloria Majors. Welcome on Facebook Live. Good morning. Brother Clarence M. Allen, take the floor.
Yes, once again, you know, we just have primates, people who refuse to leave that Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon, primitive nature. Today we have cell phones, computers, robots, trains, planes, buses, cars, you name it. All the advancement and the technologies in this world that we have achieved in science and other areas. But some people, you can give them an education, put them on a suit, give them a shave, a hairdo, and put them in all the finer things in life. But it's just mind-blowing that there are some who refuse to relinquish their primitive nature. And so when you, me, and many of our listeners on this show step into these situations where racism, discrimination, oppression, hatred, especially from people who may not be from our culture, who is not of our culture, continue to exploit their
yes.
terrible habits upon us, their terrible lifestyles upon us. That's when we have to let them know where they came from and let them know who they are. I appreciate you calling in to the executive branch, getting somebody of leadership there. I recommend you follow up with them. You know, I would put that on my Yelp. If you have a Yelp app, give them a grade. I would also, a negative grade. I would also, if I was you, become even more proactive and go through into your social media, call people you know, and go out there and protest. Call the news in that area for a press conference in front of that Popeye's Fried Chicken. You know, you know, we love fried chicken. Everybody loves fried chicken. The whole world does in some certain aspect. And so when you treat it like that, I mean, put your high beam lights on that and get your bullhorn out, your mega horn, and every horn you got to blast that place. And follow up with that executive leadership and see if that person has been fired. You ought to demand that they be fired. There's no retraining for certain people because out of all the years that they live, if they haven't been trained to respect others, they're going to go through that all their life because they're not being held accountable and they're not getting received the consequences of their actions. So, you know, get proactive on this, you know, time to get on that social media, find a date, you know, even this coming weekend, drop everything you got, go out there on that Saturday, you know, because they're going to have plenty of business and be out there all day. Get people to come in, and while you're on social media, do your social media live post. Call the media, you know, put that person on blast, and if that person is in there working, that crew, go in there and film them and ask them live, why did you do this? Why do y'all do all of us like this, or am I just the only one pointed out? And ask if there's anyone else who's been victimized and profiled by this Popeye's Chicken. Ask them to come out because I'm quite sure you're not the only one.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Clarence. Thank you, Brother Clarence and Mellon and Sister Pamela. I'm quite sure you heard that. We're going to go to my sister, Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Pamela pertaining to what happened at Popeye's Fried Chicken in Greenville, Texas?
I have something to say, if you don't mind me.
Oh, Danielle, is that you, Danielle?
Yes.
Okay, Danielle. Well, hold that thought 1 second. Vera, are you there?
Yes, I am, Eddie. Yes, I am. Well, Pamela,
okay,
I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for sharing this experience. It shouldn't have happened, but it did. I'm saddened that you had to experience this, but this will open eyes to many others. And one thing I know for sure, that you will not be having any more of that chicken. Now it's time for you to get in that kitchen to cook your own specialty. You're going to come up with a recipe like no other when you make your own fried chicken.
Amen.
I know you're going to share it with us. So,
yeah.
Much love to you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Danielle, all the way from the Valley in Los Angeles, California. Danielle, you have a question or a statement for Pamela. Go right ahead, Danielle.
So the statement is, okay, due to prior experience in two different states, I happen to know or notice that most places, they'll hire people specifically for the position, but they won't hire anyone as a supervisor. And the manager's always gone. So when they're not being supervised on the clock, most individuals do not treat people with respect. And they feel they have the power to say whatever and however, even if it goes against the store policy. So I felt you should have reached out to the manager that was supposed to be on duty that day, as well as corporation, because they're actually individual franchise, and they could have made sure something was done, and it's never too late, because the fact that they specified you as a color based by rational, it never really necessarily was understood. And I'm making sure that individual understands as well that when you discriminate against people, that it is an actual considered institutional issue, and it can always become constitutional.
Well, thank you so much for your statement, Danielle, and thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Pamela, did you want to respond to that?
Yes, I do. I did call to that Popeyes several times to speak with the manager there before even, you know, making a complaint online. I wanted to talk to the manager and let her know what was going on, but nobody never answers that phone there in that Popeyes. And I said to myself that they don't need a phone in there because nobody answers it for days. You just keep calling day, you know, two, three times a day. And so, but I noticed that when the incident happened that day, that the manager was there. She was standing there, and she was looking at me talk to the young lady at the cashier. And so I know because her uniform shirt is different from the cashier girls. That's how I knew she was the manager or the supervisor.
Right.
But she just stood there. I didn't know if it was because she didn't say nothing because, you know, she was Latino, she was Hispanic. I didn't know. I thought maybe she didn't speak, you know, English real well, the reason she stood there and listened but didn't say a word, you know. And then again, I didn't know if she didn't say a word because we had that receipt with black on it, and she knew we should never have got that receipt. So I didn't know which way it went.
Well, without further ado, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're talking to our very special guest, Pamela, all the way from Greenville, Texas, where she went into a Popeye's Fried Chicken to order food, or she drove through to order food. They left her sitting out in the parking lot for 35 minutes. They never brought her food out, but all the other cars are gone. When she finally went in to obtain her, ask, hey, what's going on? Nobody brought out her chicken. On the receipt that they gave them, they wrote black. They didn't say black car. They didn't say black nothing. But if you were African-American or a black person and somebody wrote black on your receipt, what would you think that they're referring to when they say black? A black person, and that's who we should take our chicken to? But that's not how it happened. They said they were saying black car, but they didn't write black car on the receipt. But I, in my history of going to restaurants, and I've been going to restaurants for a long time, I've never seen anybody write black on a receipt. So is that against the law? Yeah, that's against the law, because now who are you saying is black? Are you saying I'm black? Because you shouldn't be writing a race, a color on a receipt to look for a person to give them their chicken. That is completely out of pocket. It is completely unheard of. And so we're talking to Pamela, and it happened to her in Greenville, Texas. She's live on our show right now, calling in from Greenville, Texas. I mean, calling in from Texas. And so we want to go to Talana. Talana, do you have a question or a statement for Pamela after what you've heard that happened to her when her and her girlfriend went to go get some chicken from Popeye's Fried Chicken? Go right ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
Well, first and foremost, Pamela, I deep concern for what actually happened to you. That's crazy. I have one question. After I just walked into the phone call, but I do want to express that, like, that standing up for yourself is the most important thing in that situation for sure. You can't get away with disrespect or racist slurs, disrespectful, and even if it is just a word they may claim, it's not your name. You weren't given black as a surname either, so that's disrespectful. And to show, like, to leave you sitting outside and not serve you says also that they're pretty racist. So how do we fix a racist or racial situation that's been going on forever, not just in Popeyes? But it's like the people in Popeyes seem to feel like that's okay. And, again, I heard Danielle say, like, when you're not being attended to, when you're not being oversaw, then yes. Mistakes happen. Responsibilities are not exactly done the way they should be done in protocol. And if they left you outside, that means that, I mean, I want to know what actions were met after you had to go through this process. Were you able to, with anybody politically, talking to them about fixing the issue? Will they be able to, as I heard Clarence say, possibly fire the people, because it's a disservice and service. The customer is always right, so I don't understand, and that's not fair to discriminate you and make you feel.
What she has done, excuse me for interrupting, Talon, she has joined the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, and we're going to, off the phone, be working together to rectify her situation and get her the proper help that she needs. Because her civil rights have been violated, her human rights have been violated, and her constitutional rights have been violated. And we want to rectify the problem and make sure that that never happens to any other African-American male or female or anybody going to Popeye's Fried Chicken. And with that being said, I want to thank you, Talana, very much for sharing that. Pamela, did you want to respond to that?
Well, I did what I knew to do. I reported it to the NAACP. I reported it to them, and I just kept trying to, like, reach out to some attorneys, you know, for help and assistance, but every attorney that I reached out to, I'm in Texas, and it's pretty much, you know, Caucasian, so I don't know what the thing is, but I just was getting turned down. No, well, we fight, you know, we're the kind of attorneys that do fight for civil rights, but we fight for people who are employed, who have been racially profiled or, you know, discriminated against because of their race, and they was fired. So these are all the type of attorneys that kept, you know, telling me they didn't fight my kind of case, but they fight for employees who have been discriminated against at a workplace, yeah.
Well, with that being said, that's all going to be turned around now, and what a mighty God we serve. And so right now we're going to give up some history on Popeye's Fried Chicken. And I just want to say this. I had an incident with El Pollo Loco Chicken Place, and at the end of it all, I ended up getting a settlement for the way that they handled their situation there with misconduct and racial profiling. So we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen, who's going to give us a brief history. And we have 5 minutes. It's 9:55 a.m. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, Pacific Standard Time. And our next topic that will be coming up is our second topic is young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge. And who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? Again, our second topic is young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge. And who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? And we'll go right to that in just a few minutes. But right now, let's get some history on Popeye's Fried Chicken. Clarence and Allen, please take the floor. Give us some history and conduct on Popeye's Fried Chicken.
Yes, I think it's important we understand the creation and the history of this corporation. 50 years ago in New Orleans, Louisiana, a taste sensation was born. What began with one small restaurant and one big idea turned into a craze that swept the nation and the world. 1972, Alan C. Copeland Sr. opened Chicken on the Run in New Orleans, a suburb of Arabi, serving traditional southern fried chicken. After several months of lackluster performance, he reopened the restaurant as Popeye's, after Popeye Doyle of the French Connection. This time he sells spicy New Orleans-style fried chicken. 1976, Popeye's opened first franchise restaurant in New Orleans. 1980, Popeye introduced and loved that chicken for Popeye's tagline, which we mentioned earlier in the show. 1983, Popeye introduces buttermilk biscuits, which later became a significant menu item. 1984, Popeye goes global and expands to Toronto, Canada. 1985, Popeye opened its 500th restaurant in Landover, Maryland, putting the brand on equal footing with national competitors. Popeye became the number three quick service chicken chain based on the number of units. 1989, Popeye introduces crawfish as a limited time offer in the United States. In 1991, Popeye expands its international presence in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. 1992, American Favorite Chicken Company, also known as AFC Enterprises, is formed and purchased both Popeye and Church's Chicken. Didn't know that. Popeye enters a new era of growth as PLK begins updating the look of Popeye's restaurant. Popeye's in 1997 celebrates its 25th year of success. 1999, Popeye surpassed $1 billion annual sales mark for the first time. Popeye receives Menu Master Award for Louisiana Legends for its rich dishes. 2001, I'm going to stop here. Popeye becomes the number two quick service chicken chain based on the number of units. Popeye celebrates new heritage design restaurants in Atlanta, Georgia. And it goes on and on. You can look up the history of Popeye, Google it up. And this is the last one. 2015, Popeye presents its Red Stick Chicken. The inaugural Popeye Bahama Bowl gets nominated for Best Play at the 2015 ESPY Awards. Popeye hosts its second annual Bahamas Bowl. So we, Pastor Eddie mentioned about that sandwich, which had people of color and fighting over a chicken sandwich. Come on, man. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to all our wonderful listeners.
Thank you so much, Brother Clarence and Mallon, for that history. That the history is important. But Lau, you heard about the good little things about Popeye's Fried Chicken, and they're making money off of people of color, and most of their restaurants are in African-American communities around the United States. You don't see Popeye's Fried Chicken in Beverly Hills. You don't see Popeye's Fried Chicken in West – I haven't seen them in West Los Angeles or Beverly Hills or Granada Hills or Ventura or any place like that. But they're in all the black communities, and we line up to get that chicken sandwich, and people have been stabbed over the chicken sandwich, beat up over the chicken sandwich. It's just ridiculous. I was like, is this crack chicken or something? Because people keep coming back for more and more and more. But let's go to Professor Reams and find out the other flip side of what's going on with Popeye's Fried Chicken. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the flip side of what's going on with Popeye's Fried Chicken.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Over the years, Popeye's has had an interesting history with the law itself. I'm going to go with the most recent one in the interest of time, because Popeye's is now in the middle of a class action suit alleging that the chicken tenders falsely advertised as chicken tenderloins are not what they're said to be. And one of the issues that cropped up with it is that that Natasha is a big sender. Yeah. The plaintiff has filed a class action suit saying that they were overcharging people for what they claimed to be chicken tenders when they weren't. I mean, they were still, it was still chicken, but it wasn't the juicier part of the chicken. So within this suit, it's now a full class action suit for New York, which will be a very large one. And it also, it violates, they're using what is called unjust enrichment, which is a statute which is sometimes seen for torts and also for contracts. That says that you were making money off of us and you were cheating us, so now you need to give us back the money that you cheated us from. Now think about it. If this is a class action suit and it's in New York, this is a large, going to be a large class action suit, since everyone, as you've stated, goes to Popeye's. And if this happens here, then it means it could slide over to other states where they're showing from, should the plaintiffs win, because then who knows where else they've been falsely advertising that they're actually using chicken tenders. The other suit that's come up is that they have also violated the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act by collecting and storing biometric data of some of its workers as well. So hopefully this is not a practice that has been done not only in Illinois but across the measure, because for at least this act here, at least the federal act, it is a fine of $1,000 per violation, or $5,000 if it's intentional or reckless, per the attorneys. So it's going to become costly, because to bring something like this, you have to see how many counts of violations of the act has been. You also have lawyer's fees. You also have court fees. You also have the final result, because it's employees and it's being done across the nation to all of its franchises. Then you're going to have a massive in the millions for violating this particular fine. So these are just two that are coming out. And, you know, who knows, Pastor Jones, knowing your magic and your wisdom overall in putting this together, the idea of putting a identifier on a receipt might be the next class action suit that comes up, because of how each of the franchises are mistreating or discriminating against its customers. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Let's give a big hand for that information right there. Let's give a big hand for Clarence and Allen and everybody that has asked a question. So, Sister Pamela, without further ado, first of all, we want to thank you for being our very special guest. Can everybody give Pamela a big hand? It takes courage to come on the show and talk about something like this. Let's give her a hand.
To Sister Pamela, bless you for coming on the show.
Pamela, give us your closing remarks, you know, on how you feel about how you were treated. And just in a short little, you know, soundbite, go right ahead and give us your closing remarks and how you feel.
About how I was treated at Popeye's?
Yes. Yes.
Well, in closing, I know that I was discriminated against and racial profiled because of my race, my color, being black, African American, and the restaurant had all, you know, Caucasian and Hispanics there working in a restaurant. So, you know, my biggest thing is I don't want it to happen to anyone else. That's my race that is black, you know. I just don't want that to happen to no. I pray that nobody else have to experience the what I felt in my heart when I seen black on that receipt. It was like I felt like somebody stabbed me in my heart, because, I mean, this kind of stuff you don't see, you know. I've never experienced it, like I said. I've never even heard of nobody telling me that's my race, or Caucasian white was on a receipt at a restaurant and they was like, you know, they received, you know, bad service. So my thing is this, my prayers and my hopes is that nobody else of any color race have to experience what I felt and what I still feel from, you know, going to a restaurant and being racially profiled.
Wow. So on that note, Pamela, don't go anywhere. Stay on the show. If you have time, we'd like to come back to you later and get, you know, maybe like holler out a prayer with you or something. But at this time, we're going to switch reels a little bit. We talked about Popeye's Fried Chicken. You found out that someone was racially profiled there. They were mistreated. It was misconduct at Popeye's Fried Chicken in Greenville, Texas. Let's see. We have a caller in the 832 area code. Caller in the 832-880 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 832-880 area code. Are you there?
How you doing,
good morning,
my brother? This is James Hudson.
Good morning.
Hey,
this
brother
James
Hudson.
Hudson.
Everybody say good morning. Everybody say good morning to brother James Hudson. Good morning, brother.
Good morning,
good morning, James.
Good morning, James.
Good morning. Good morning to you guys. I was just listening in. And welcome to Texas, guys. My heart goes out to the lady who had experienced what she experienced in Popeye's, but I'm telling you, there's probably about another 1,000 people that could easily tell you some of the things that we're experiencing here in Texas. I think Texas is just taking the lead in the nation and just showing its rear end, you know, over the last 3-4 years with all these whistles that we've had coming from our leadership, whether it was from President Trump or from the governor of the state, and I could just name so many people, and that's what they're doing. They're taking their cues from the leaders, and that's why they feel like they can just do these things and laugh about it and get away with it, because they feel like, hey, if nothing's going to be done, you can't even take this to court. We're just going to laugh you out of court. Da da da. You people need to stay in your places and all that kind of stuff. That's really what's happening in Texas, all over Texas. So again, there are so many of us that have spent our lives in Texas and now seeing things that we've never seen before. So that's just what's happening. So I'll say that. And then the last thing I want to say, you know, we're still working with the Joshua Johnson situation. I think I've just found out. This morning that I had sent out some pictures and asked people to just post a picture on their storylines every Monday and every Thursday, and I realized that on my own page, I haven't been able to print anything on my own page, thinking that I was, but these people done copied my page, directing all of my stuff going somewhere else when I'm thinking that it's going to my actual page. And they've done that ever since I went and met with another lady who lost her son, who was shot and killed, got shot in the back of the head by an officer. And I went and met with that family, and ever since I've done that, boy, they have been all trying to – they don't even let me say anything on Facebook. Even this morning when I tried to comment on Brother Eddie's Brother Eddie on you, I could go to your page, but they wouldn't allow me to comment. I can't say anything. That's why I actually called, because I can't say anything on Facebook. And I want to remind you that after I came before a grand jury, after I came, it was the DA's office that told me that they monitor everything that I do, all my social media, all my phone, everything that I do. And they were not lying and they were not playing. They monitor everything that I do because they don't want this stuff to get out. I'm going to continue to fight for justice for Joshua and these other people that are here. And we've got several of them now. After I met with the lady whose son had been shot in the back of the head, I went and met with a very good friend of mine's wife, who's a part of my Showtime group. He got he was walking on the sidewalk in his neighborhood on his way home to his wife and his daughter, and got hit by a police officer driving almost 100 miles an hour, got hit and killed, and that came back as a no bill. And I just went and met with her. So they really know. They watch things I'm doing. So it's just a big mess. Harris County is just terrible. And they know that I know this, these things, and I've been meeting with all these with Congressman Green and the Commissioner Ellis and so many other elected officials. They know that I meet with all these people, and that's why they follow me everywhere I go and all over my phone and the Facebook page and all that stuff. But we're going to continue to fight for justice. I'm not only to talk about that, but I just wanted to say, just let that lady know that she's not by herself. These situations are happening all over Texas, and these people are trying to make a statement Jews will not replace us. Black people will not replace us. Hispanic people will not replace us. You guys go back to where you come from. There's your statement. You just pray for us in Texas, because we are leading the nation and showing our reading about that.
Now, Brother James, I know we talked about it, and we're going to talk about it again. At some point, I'm going to be your very special guest down there in Texas, and I'm sure when we go down there and when we come down there to see you, I'm quite sure all eyes will have all eyes on us again. So in order for us to break this chain of negativity, of racism and biasness, we're going to have to continue to face the music and dance right along with the song. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. It's gonna come to pass. None of your work is in vain. Every bit of it is extremely important, and we're gonna keep on fighting for justice and equality. And I thank you for calling in. Let's give Brother James Hudson a big hand and thank him right now. Thank you, Brother James. Thank you, Brother James. Big hand. Because again, either we're gonna stand up for something or we're gonna fall for anything. But I'm gonna stay on top of it. And we're going to get back to Brother James before, if he's still on the line, before we leave. But we got to go into this very intriguing, interesting topic. 20 young people under the age of 18 years old were all in court. And I read the article. I seen it. I watched it live. All 20 of them were given life without the possibility of parole. Now, you would say, why is a 17-year-old getting life? And they put them in prison. They're all 17-year-olds. They all committed some kind of heinous crime, whether it was stabbing it. One of them beat their grandmother to death with a baseball bat. One of them killed their sister. One of them set their brother up to be murdered. They just all did murders. And one of them killed the baby. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, they all got life. And when the judge read them their time, when they sentenced them to their time, they all cried like babies. They cried like babies, okay? So here's the question, because they were big and bad when they had the gun in their hand. They were big and bad when they had the weapon, when they was doing whatever they was doing. This 30-year-old talked the 17-year-old into killing somebody. They were all tough until it came time for them to be sentenced to the time that they were going to get for their crime. That time they became like little infants or little toddlers crying like a baby. So there's something wrong with what's going on with the leadership for our young people, because these young people are our future. They're our future judges, doctors, attorneys, and lawyers, but they're out on K2. They're on fentanyl. They're on all these different drugs and everything. We got a little feedback. Hold on. If you can mute out your phone, mute your phone out. If you have Facebook and your phone on, mute one of them out, please. Thank you. But I am so concerned with that. We have a caller in the 323-338 area code. Are you there? Caller in the 323-338 area code. Are you there? Okay, let's put them back on hold. Okay. All right, so without further ado, let's talk about this, because here's our second topic. Young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge, and who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? Well, it looks like a lot of our young people are taking advice from the streets and from people in the streets, and they end up getting life without the possibility of parole. And they're putting our young people in prison. They're not even giving them a second chance. They're giving them life. So if you go out and commit a crime and you kill somebody, or you maim somebody, or you committed an attempted murder, you gotta don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time, because the judges aren't playing. When you kill a baby, a 2-year-old baby, when you bludgeon or beat or choke a baby to death, and then say, "Oh, the baby wouldn't stop crying, so I choked him to death." One of the young men did that, and he got life in the pot with no possibility of parole. So his life is over, and he's only 17 years old, and he's already in the big house, okay? So one of our guests on the show is Danielle. Danielle, are you still with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Danielle, we're going to start with you. because you are a young person on the show today, and so I want to ask you. Now, let's talk about some of these drugs that they have out really quick. There's a. Do you know what K2 is?
Yes.
Okay. What is? Okay, I hear someone talking. What is K2? What kind of drug is that?
It's artificial marijuana.
Okay. Do you know what Flocka is? Flocka.
No.
Okay. Do you know what crystal meth is?
Yes.
And what is crystal meth?
It is a Schedule 1 drug, and I don't know if it's a powder or it's.
Now, I heard that there is a, it's man-made. It's made in a lab. Like, you can make it at home, right?
Oh, yeah. I heard that it is made at home.
Okay, now also, too, there's a drug called fentanyl, which is a pill which is killing so many young people, young and old, actually. But a lot of young people, even in high school and middle school, are dying from fentanyl. And it's been on the news a lot, and they make it look like little candies. They make it in different colors. Do you know what fentanyl is?
I'm aware of what it is, but I never had it.
Oh, praise God. I hope you never do. We're just going over some
of the drugs. Of course, I'm sorry.
Now, I heard that there's a drug. It's a wax. It's a heroin, but it's made out of wax. Have you heard of that?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, I've heard that there's a drug out that is made out with heroin and something else, and they make it in a wax form, and you can heat the wax and do whatever. I don't know what they do with it, but I heard that it's a dangerous drug. And then I heard that there's a wax with medical marijuana has a wax that you can put, you can melt it on a pipe and you can smoke it. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, so that's good that you haven't heard about a lot of these very dangerous drugs that are being used that are in the streets. So I'm asking you, here's the question. A lot of our young people are perishing if they're not being shot down by guns. Matter of fact, every single week, there's a little feedback in the background. I don't know what that is. But every week I look on the news, a rapper has been shot and killed. Every single week, they kill a rapper. I mean, I guess people don't even want to be a rapper anymore, because if you're a rapper now, or you say you're a title rapper, then somebody's going to come and shoot you for no reason just because you're a rapper. There's a
true,
lot of
they associate. People are associating, I'm sorry, people are associating being a rapper with getting signed and having money. So the purpose and objective is probably to just get what they have and make sure they're not living anymore to tell that story.
Well, that's terrible. So a lot of our young people are perishing in the streets. They're dying by gunshot wounds, car accidents, overdoses on drugs. What do you say to our young people? How do you, Danielle, you're a young person. How do you stay away from that kind of stuff?
Well, I'm 30 years old. I noticed because of my life and the way I am, being your niece, I have to be by myself. And I have a commemoration for anti-gang prevention. I do get approached by people daily, and I try not to discriminate. No, I do have my own biases. I'll introduce myself if they ask to exchange social media. I'll try to give them a chance. And if I start noticing some type of issue that they have with themselves, I disassociate myself with them.
Well, that's very good, Danielle. I want to go around, and we're going to, you know, of course, ask you a few questions in a minute from the other panelists, our other co-producers on the show. How do you feel about all the young people that are dying so young from guns, gunshots and drug overdoses. How do you feel about that, Danielle, as a young person?
I feel like they don't care about their life, because if they did, they would look into more help. Like, there's a campaign, and I always talk about it. It's called I Love My Life campaign. And I feel like the fact that somebody can think I have nothing to live for, it's just a sad situation. Whether the Department of Mental Health chooses to get involved, or they just feel like that's all they can think about, and they have no control over that. That's a false statement, too. I feel that if they reached out to other people while they're feeling this, they would have more understanding of how they feel to assert their feelings. And then if there is a way that we can help with medication, why not?
And I wanted to also ask you, because I see a lot of our young people on social media bashing each other. Why do a lot of our young people go on social media to air out their problems and bash one another? Can you give me a reason why? And it has ended up in young people dying over social media. Why do they do that, Danielle? Why do you think they do that?
Most people on Facebook have a degree of separation. So I honestly feel that whether they're high school associated or they just know people because they live in the neighborhood, or they just add people randomly that have something to do with it. And also drama. People love to live in drama. People love to scoop out drama. There's people who are entertained by that mentally. I honestly feel that you got to be careful of where you go, who you're around, and everything. You must know that person inside out in order to understand where they're coming from, because if they're approaching you with some type of drama like that, maybe they're trying to seek some type of help. That's how I look at it.
So when you look at our young people as yourself, what do you think about the future of, you know, people my age, you know, when the young people have to take over and take the reins and become the next leaders, the next astronauts, cosmonauts, judges, doctors, lawyers, attorneys, and any other position that can help our society? How do you feel? Do you feel like our young people are ready to take over at the reins and be leaders? Or do you feel like they're learning from God, or you feel like they're learning from the streets?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Okay, do you feel like the young people today, do you feel like they're so, I mean, like, a lot of our young people are on drugs, a lot. So
true, especially here in Van Nuys.
What I'm asking you is, do you feel like our young people that are on drugs and strung out on drugs and all the stuff going on in their life, do you feel like they can be the next leaders of our society for tomorrow?
I feel like they are, I feel like the young people need more guidance. They need more, like, growing up in New York, I noticed that people do tend to the community and they do help out. They help guide the people. But I don't necessarily see that a lot in California, unless you're in L.A., like in South Central L.A. And if we had more guidance, we wouldn't feel like we have to turn to drugs to cope, because there's a lot of people, especially not, I'm from Generation Millennial. So Generation Z, they're always thinking that it's okay to just go get high for a day, or let's go drink, and it will help them cope with their problems. Like, there's and a lot of these youth, they don't even care to work. It's like, what do you do all day? And then you're looking for a way to get some money, and nobody really wants to help you. So it's like, what do you do all day? Why do you feel other people have the time in the day to be your friend, and you have nothing to offer? And it's literally like, a waste. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste. I don't even feel comfortable smoking and drinking all damn day just to feel comfortable with society. Like, if you feel like something's wrong with society, that's your way. That's your missing link. That's your random window of opportunity to go do something, to create a change. Because literally, if you're not coping with what's going on in the world and you feel like being lost in the sauce is more understandable for you, something's wrong with you.
Okay, well, hold that thought right there. To everybody listening to the show, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. We're talking with Danielle, and Danielle is a young millennial, and we're talking about Generation Z, which is the generation that's coming up right now, and I'm saying over 50%, over 50% are on some kind of drugs, are dealing with more. I never heard of so much mental illness as much as I have heard since 2020. I mean, and I understand, you know, people, you know, we're very sensitive to people with mental disabilities, very sensitive. We even have a segment on our show called Mental Health and Youth. But I've never seen so many young people on fentanyl and all these other drugs that we've been bringing up. It's just unbelievable. You know, it's just like, wow, crystal meth has just taken over and it's killing a lot of families. Because when your child gets on crystal meth, they will steal for it. They will rob for it. They will do what they got to do to get their drugs. And then the people who are pushing these drugs on our young people, they're killing a whole generation. So that's why we're talking about it on the show today. And I see Cousin V in the studio. Let's get her in. Good morning, Cousin V. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning out there in Florida?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Everybody say good morning to Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Well, Cousin V, we're talking about our second topic is young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge, and who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? And a lot of our young people are on crystal meth. They're on fentanyl. They're on Vicodin. They're on K2, which is that synthetic marijuana. And there's another drug called Flocka. And our young people are just, they can't even go a day without their drugs. And if they do, they get irritated. They curse out their parents. They hurt their family members. They just drain their family members of resources trying to keep up their drug habit because they're not working for it. But they can sit around and play the game all day. And then, like I said, it's destroying relationships because all they are is just dealing with themselves, and they got to stay high all the time. And if they're not high, they're irritated. If they're irritated, they're irritating other people because they haven't received their drugs for that day. So we're talking about that with Danielle. And with that being said, I want to go to my sister, Vera Jones. Vera, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Danielle? And I want to thank you, Danielle, for coming on and sharing this with us. But first of all, can we all give Danielle a hand? Let's give her a hand for just coming on and sharing it, okay? And give her a hand.
Oh, thank you. I highly appreciate it. I mean, there's always deeper matters to the heart, and I don't mind talking about it, especially the way I understand it, especially when it comes to mental health and how that's dealt with. There needs to be a better way to deal with that because there's people who are in position of power who manipulate people, who allow themselves to come around you so they can try to spook you. I've been placed in situations like that. My uncle has been a witness, and we've done seen everybody's testimony of how they felt. And it's an emotional situation because it's not understood for what it is. They always prey on the people in the church. It's irritating. It's so irritable.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, we're going to go to Vera first. Vera, do you have a question or a statement for Danielle?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for coming on, Danielle, and sharing what's really happening out in our community, you know, as a young one. And as you had mentioned, more of guidance, you know, from family, that means that many are lacking love. And so family awareness, if they're giving, back in the day, they used to call it a latchkey kid. So now it's even more because more freedom, they have their peers are saying, hey, try this, try this. But thank you for keeping us updated. And come back again, Danielle.
Of course. Thank you, Vera. I highly appreciate you.
Sure.
Now, without further ado, we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, do you have a question or a statement for Danielle, who was talking about the future of our young people and whether they're ready to take the reins to be our leaders of tomorrow? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence M. Allen.
Yes, Danielle. First, thank you for coming on to the show. It was very educational and enlightening hearing what you expressed with us this morning, because your perspective is right on point. You're shining a necessary light on the world, sharing especially from your age era, how you see, how your age era see and understand how things operate and how things go from your perspective. And, you know, it just seems like there are so many bridges that have been destroyed with connections of our generations that, you know, it's more difficult nowadays to just sit down and speak and listen and understand with each other how we process things and how we go about our directions in life. So I just want to thank you. I commend you. You are a leader. You're very educational, very intelligent person. So I respect you and commend you and your being for coming on this show. Like Granny B say, call in next Monday. Call in the Monday after that, because we love to hear how you think, what you know, and what you have to share here on the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Clarence. What do you want to say to that, Danielle?
I necessarily say that. I mean, if you feel that, well, I'm sorry. I just want to say most people who are young, they need guidance. And if you feel like you're concerned, just reach. All it takes is just to reach out.
Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Without further ado, we're going to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Danielle?
Just a statement. Also work as an advisor and, try to do the professor work and all, but I call them my babies. Most of them are 17 mm-hmm. and 18. We sit down and we have all these conversations about things that are going on with their family. And the rule of thumb is that for every 2, 3, 4, 5, or 10 that I have in my classroom, I'm missing out on 10 or 20 others who should be in the classroom and try to provide that guidance. So I wanted to thank you for you fortifying and confirming what's going out there. And it's my hope that at least I'm guiding them, because then they've made a pledge to me that they're going to go back and be just like you and provide guidance to their family members. But also I tell them, look, don't call me if you need me. Call me if you want me to talk to your brother, your sister, or even some of them have their babies. So let's get on the Zoom line so I can see that baby of yours. So that's my overall role that I have. And I wanted to just thank you for also fortifying that. I'll keep doing what I have to do. But my question or thing is, how can we support you as well?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I feel that you should continue to be in their lives regardless. And right now it's college season. You should definitely encourage them to go apply for college and teach them the ropes of financial aid and help them, you know, by sowing, well, you don't have to sow a seed because financial aid is financial aid, and there's plenty of opportunities. But I feel that you should definitely encourage them to continue their education to gain a better path so they can get out of the situation and they don't have to think and look back on what their parents were doing to them and what was going on, because necessarily society will get you sucked in into a bucket, let's just say that, and you will be one of those little creatures in there trying to get out, and you will get hit by certain things in society. So I'm just saying, you know, your life path is your choice, and it's up to you to do something about that.
Exactly.
That's right. Thank you,
Daniel. You know that we've just had 1,000 of my babies to graduate, and they're going into different fields as well.
Oh.
Now, my other question is,
okay.
how can we help you personally if you need us? Is there anything you'd like us to do?
Well, I'm injured. I've been injured for 7 years. I'm about to look for a place to move to in California. I would like to get back into school, but I gotta wait until I finish with mental health, which is pretty soon. And aside from that, I have a good job. I work at Amazon Fresh, and they have awesome career opportunities, and they offer tuition-free schooling. And there's a program that I'm looking to get into right now, but for some reason they have a missing link, and it doesn't make sense. That's the why it's considered a missing link.
Danielle,
yeah.
What we'll do is in the time, because it's 10:37 a.m. and we got to go into our other segments, I'm going to pass your number over to Professor Reams, and then off the air we'll all talk together and we'll all talk about how we can help you. How about that?
Absolutely.
Sure. I don't mind discussing that. What state are you living in?
No, he's in California,
In California.
Oh, you're in California.
Yes.
You're in Northridge?
Well,
Long Beach, yes.
Oh, Long Beach, okay.
Well, it's 10:37 and it's almost 10:38 and we have several segments to get on and we're going to have to minimize them down and we also have some all our segments. So without further ado, first of all, let's give Danielle a big hand for her courage and her information. Thank you so much, Danielle. Thank you. Give her a big hand. Thank you, Danielle. You did a wonderful job. Okay. But without further ado, we have to go on with our regular segments. Our subject matter that we just left, our second topic was young people perishing due to a lack of knowledge, and who do they trust for advice, God or the streets? And we learned a lot of our young people, like I said earlier, 20 young people got life without the possibility of parole. Just a few days ago, 20 young people, 17 years old, got life without the possibility of parole. Felita Wills clapped her hands. Your Aunt Vera clapped her hands. Who else do you love, Danielle? Well, without further ado, it's time to get into our regular segment. So first of all, let's go to health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness. It's 10:39 a.m.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's Eddie would say and Marvin Gaye, what's going on? I have a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, I just adore sharing information because I am Dr. Grana E.V. on this particular show. So I wanted to mention to you today is the holiday time awaits us. Cool weather, we're going to be indoors more, and great food. And if you're not experiencing, perhaps you know someone that is experiencing hypertension or high blood pressure. And hypertension is someone that has a chronic high blood pressure. And high blood pressure is someone with elevated blood pressure that fluctuates going up and down. Now, this is one of the silent killers. And many of us may have symptoms and may not even recognize. So if you have some of the effects, you would be able to live your life a little more stress-free. Now, let's speak about what is a normal blood pressure, 120 over 80. Prehypertension is 120 over 139 to 80 and 90. But there are stages of high blood pressure in stages 1, 2, and 3. I don't have time to go into all of them. However, this can be controlled with medication or lifestyle changes. Now, what causes this? It could be stress, more stress, and overstress with lots of sodium, hereditary, or overweight. Now, some of the symptoms may be chest pain, shortness of breath, headaches, fainting. And what are the effects if they're left untreated? Guess what? It can cause heart attacks, kidney failure, loss of vision, strokes. And then your libido is very low, no sexual dysfunction. And then what is best is to invest in self-love and self-care and cut some things off, you know, turn it off like a switch. And begin to do some of the things like keeping a record of your wellness, like a daily journal, and investing in a blood pressure cuff. Now, we can get some physical exercise in, do what is one of your favorites, or try something new. And we can also maintain stress management by doing some of the exercises. But what to eat, last but not least, would be some foods that can lower your blood pressure would be raisins, chard, beans, avocado, the berry family, bananas, watermelon, cantaloupe, kiwi, and oranges. And some of the herbs would be basil, cinnamon, hawthorn, ginger, garlic, motherwort, rosemary, barberry, and black quash. And last but not least would be, what are some of the drinks? Now, we can drink the apple cider vinegar with honey, have that warm. You can have the lemon water, just plain old lemon water. And you can also have the turmeric water, or I mention this pretty often, diatomaceous herbs. So let's try and eat a little more high potassium foods like sweet potatoes, tomatoes, spinach, and mangoes. And we want to live healthier as long as possible. Much love to everyone, and let's watch our blood pressure and hypertension. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a big hand for good, Dr. Granny V. Thank you very much.
The doctor has spoken.
And yes, yes. And it is 10:43 a.m., and in the essence of time, we're going to go right to Aretha Adams-Jones with Mental Health and You. Aretha, hello. Welcome to the show, everybody. Say good morning to Aretha Adams-Jones, and then take the floor, Mental Health and You.
Dr. Aretha.
Good morning,
Dr. Aretha.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday to all of you. God bless you all. And this is going to be very brief. So this is Monday morning, October the 3rd, 2022, Mental Health and You. We often hear about valuing ourselves. And that's so important, but it's also important to value others as well. Understanding unconditional love has been proved to empower people to live stable, productive lives with purpose and value. When we are confident of our value, we are in a beautiful position to place value on others so they can live a life of purpose and strength, making a difference in this world. And there was a beautiful quote by Bo Bennett. He said, value people on their potential, not on their history. And just remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. Have a great day.
All right. Let's take a big hug. Thank you so much. Thank you, Aretha. Thank you so much. Without further ado, in the essence of time, it is 10:44 a.m. We're going to go to Talana Jones with words of wisdom. Talana Jones, take the floor. give us words of wisdom. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show.
Thanks, Zach. Good morning, everyone. Again, can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Today's words of wisdom read, discover it, love it, believe it. The world is yours. Tough times don't last always, but tough people do. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Tough, soft heart. If it's meant to be, make it happen. And learn to let go of yourself so that you can learn to embrace your true self. You must embrace calling. The brave ones fear nothing, for they serve right, and they are determined in rooting out all evil. You give people hope. Hope is a star that no dark cloud can dim. And if the star remains in your heart always, you remain undefeated. Where the sun that never loses its power, there is a teacher present always when the student is ready. We say thank you, Lord, for your power, for your favor. And I would say also that God's favor is walking with us all, that we have unusual love, that God's favor, again, can never take away anything that is meant for those who walk in their own passion. The very ending says, we thank God for the season of reaping what we have sown and to not grow weary in doing well. That the spiritual practice in itself is life and learning to always be constant with spiritual human experience, to be still and listen closely for God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all, and I pray you enjoy words of wisdom.
Amen. All right.
Thank you for words of wisdom.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, without further ado, all the way from Oregon with Poetry in Motion, Linda Goldie, take the floor. And while everybody says hello, Linda Goldie, go ahead on and give us Poetry in Motion. Everybody say hi to Linda Goldie.
Linda Goldie.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
All things have a small beginning, striving upward, bent on winning what they can in their small space, with hopes to have a bigger place, but now content to see the sky and watch with wonder what is high above the place where they now grow, and wonder if they'll ever know a place up there where they can be, where they can thrive forever, thrive evermore to be alive. I've been doing some gardening, you can tell.
Amen. Was that it, Linda? Was that our point for today? Let's give her a hand.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, now,
super.
It's 10:48 a.m. We have the sports report. We have the regulator coming. And then we have the commentary with Professor Reams. So without further ado, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us the sports report.
All right. Well, I want to start off with some happy birthdays, but of course it's bittersweet because it's hard to always come out because it's so sad. But Brandy's birthday is day after tomorrow, Wednesday, October the 5th. This is Breast Cancer Month, so everyone remember to wear your pink the whole month of October. Also, on Friday the 7th is my oldest son, Terrence's birthday. And then on Sunday is Brandy's son, Jerrion, my first grandson. His birthday is October 10th. And then on Monday is their belated dad, granddad, birthday, Randy Sr., October 11th. So I just want you all to say a prayer because it is so hard. This is the first birthday without my daughter.
We love you very much.
We start off this week on Thursday night football, y'all pray for my quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, because he was injured. I mean, a bad concussion, so bad that his hands, you could see that it affected him by his hands. And they had broadcasts on national TV, and they was talking about how hard it was. It is the hard to see someone in that position. Also, we want to pray for J.J. Watt. He was put in the hospital for heart conditions. And then on Thursday night, it was the Dolphins and the Bengals. The Bengals beat the Dolphins 27-15. And then on Sunday football, we had the Vikings versus the Saints 28-25. And then the Falcons beat the Browns 23-20. And then the Bills beat the Ravens 23-20. That's backwards and forwards, both games. Also, Dallas Cowboys, and the rival game of the week was Dallas over Washington Commanders 25-10. The Seahawks beat the Lions 48-45. The Chargers, L.A. Chargers, beat our Texans 34-24. The Titans beat the Colts 24-17. The Bears lost to the Giants 20-12. The Eagles defeated Jaguars 29-21. The Jets beat the Steelers 24-20. The Cardinals beat the Panthers 26-16. The Packers beat the Patriots 27-24. And Clarence, your L.A. Raiders won a game. They beat the Denver Broncos of all people 32-23. And then on Sunday Night Football, hey, the Chiefs defeated Tampa Bay and Brady 41-31. And tonight, Eddie, you will be glued to the TV because it's going to be your L.A. Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. And then on Thursday night football, we have the Colts and the Broncos on Thursday night football this week. And NBA season has started, so Miami Heat is having a scrimmage game tonight. It's called the Red, White, and Pink game, and it's going to be in honor of Breast Cancer Month. So hats off to everyone. Have a blessed and happy week. Remember, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so wear your pink.
All right, let's keep a big hand for the
question for you.
SMB. SMB.
We love you, and we love Brandy, and we love all our family. But without further ado, it is time for Regulate the Manual. It's 10:53 a.m. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
That really quick before Clarence, I just want to send a quick shout out to my son Zion. Today is his 21st birthday, so happy birthday, Z.
All right, happy birthday,
happy
Zion.
Birthday.
Happy birthday. All right,
October
Clarence M. Allen, take the floor.
Happy birthday.
Go right ahead.
October 1st, 1971. Was a Friday, and it seemed to be pretty good all the day long. The evening came into play. The park crowd was cheering and shouting out from their guts as football games were played. Team coaches yelled out the game plays to run. The energy from the players never ended. It was getting late into the evening, and as the game ended, a small haze of fog began to make a slight appearance across the field. After the games ended and the park lights were shut off, the crowds were either walking home in some small groups, or others were riding on bikes, and others were in their cars going home. On tonight, I would hang around the park for a while after the football games were over and everyone went home. There it was, this certain night that I noticed in some places of the field, the haze of fog seemed to be much richer and sort of unusual. Behind the main football infield, the fog was thicker, and it looked like it became so thick that it looked like a thick cloud was just floating on the ground. Out of curiosity, slowly I began to walk in the direction of the thick cloud and fog. The closer I came to the fog, the cooler the temperature in the air became as the fog thickened only in this part of the park. No sounds were heard, not even a cricket could be heard in this desolate area of the park.
on any given night in the park, along with this quietness, you will hear many crickets and many more of the other night creatures as they made their way through the night. But for some unknown reason, on this particular Friday night, the closer I got, the more eerie, sordid, and haunting kind of a feeling overcame me. The closer I got, I also started to become frightened for no reason at all. Why? Why would I become scared on an ordinary night during October? Here I was all alone, closing in with 200 feet as I felt the coolness of the thick fog. Scared and curious, I began to sweat and tremble the closer I came. The closer I came to the fog, my breathing got more difficult with every breath. The visibility had also come to the point of not being able to see at all. Straining my eyes to focus in the thickness of the fog, I had my eyes wide open and all my senses on alert. I believed through the fog I could see something or someone. I believed something was blocking my view. Now, upon hearing an unfamiliar sound that I heard and had whispered throughout all around the fog, I immediately burst out running as fast as I could and headed straight home nonstop, with my heart beating and pounding harder than a band drum, shaking and sweating. I never in my life had ran and made it home so fast. This is the month of October. This is the month of the haunted soul, brother. I'll continue next week.
All right, let's give a big hand.
All right, haunted soul, brother.
That was nice. That was good. That was good. That was good. Well, without further ado, it's time for one of the most important parts of the show. Thank you so much, Brother Clarence. It's time for one of the most important parts of the show. Professor Reem, take the floor. Give us the commentary. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Then we're going to thank our guests. Go right ahead, Professor Reem. Take the floor.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones, and thank you for an excellent topic that we talked about. So let's jump into it so I can go through it in the interest of time. We talked about Popeye's fried chicken. We've talked about the young people and who they're listening to and getting advice. We also were given a dose of the things that are going on, all the monsters. I'm going to go to Clarence Allen, who we're dealing with, from racism, from drug use, from mental illness, all the way down to the ideas of not valuing oneself. And it really comes down to this issue. In Hosea 4:6, it was talking about that knowledge was going to, lack of knowledge and ignorance was going to destroy the Israelites and Israel because it looked away from God. And one thing about it is the good Lord is putting upon our hearts that these are things that we need to take time to focus on as opposed to what we're doing. So with Dr. Aretha reminding about valuing not only ourselves but others, we're reminded that the one thing that we can do in resolving these issues, whether it's drugs or whether it's dealing with racism, it is to provide some level of guidance. And we've heard from our wonderful guest, Pamela Caven, the activity that she went to, but thank goodness she's going to be an instrument of change as she works to address this issue. So as I've always said, we're always the canary in the coal mine where when the issue comes up, we want to address this because, as she reminds us, I don't want it to happen to anyone else. With Danielle, she has provided us the guidance as the reason for guidance and how there needs to be a direction and that you can split in between those who want to do something, who don't want to do something overall, and we can pass that judgment. But the best way to address it is to first follow what God is going to do. Yes, we've seen those 20 people, young people get arrested and put and then our life in prison. But now this is where God works at his best, because the fact that when we are at our lowest of low, this is where the atonement, this is where the reparations, which is also meaning of atonement, and where the guidance will come from him, the Father, when he works with us personally. But then we need to also be mindful that we cannot judge. We cannot be cruel in our judgment ourselves. The best thing that we can do is what Linda Goldie mentioned, is that all things have small beginnings. So that small beginning is simply to listen and to understand and to not pass judgment and to be there with those little baby steps, because it will mean, as Dr. Granny B mentioned, we have to eat right and make sure our blood pressure is such that we can take on this avenue. It also means that we need to discover it, love and believe, as Talana has mentioned to us. And it's also the idea that when issues such as breast cancer month comes in, or the issues that are going on, that we open our arms and hug and care, as we've done with Cousin V, in light of these things, because those are the things that really matter at the end of the day. So my pledge to all, as I've mentioned to all my babies, is just call, let's start a little conversation, and let's all start, have a small beginnings, which will lead us to a better tomorrow. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so much, Professor Reams, for the commentary. Thank you so much.
All right, Professor Reams.
Everybody did a wonderful, fantastic, phenomenal job. Pamela, are you still with us in Texas? Pamela, are you still there? Pamela? Okay. We want to send a special shout-out to our guest, Pamela, down in Texas in Greenville, down in Texas. We want to send a shout-out to Danielle. We want to thank all of our co-producers, all of our co-hosts, and I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank everybody out there that came on Facebook Live. Thank you so much, and everybody who came on blogtalkradio.com and everybody that called in to the show. Thank you so much. Remember, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And remember, whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. But here is the question, and the question is, what's going on, y'all? What's really going on? God bless you. Have a wonderful Monday, and I will talk to you soon. Peace, joy, love, and happiness. Amen.
Hey, what's up now?
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.